Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Ollie.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yo, what's good? You know the voice. You know what it is. I'm bubbleless today. That's a story for another day. The hairline is still the same. The body is extra crisp today. I got my glasses on, but this is not video, so y'all can't see me. But I'm extra studious today. And I felt like being studious today because of our guest that we're going to have. You know what I'm saying? But before I get to, our guest... I always got to check in with my man with the points, with the crisp hairline, do-rags in any weather. You know, like he told y'all before, he's back to doing what he does. So, you know, he might have to tell your mom no now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I might have to. I'm sorry. It's not March anymore.
It's not March anymore.
It just depends on my mood. She catch me at the right time. I'll probably shoot her something. You know what I mean? She send a cash app through. You know what I mean? But it's me. You know, it's Mari. You know what I mean? You know the headline. You know the voice. I got the do-rag on right now. Jerv glossed over the body and all that. Listen, the body is extra fresh. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give my man his credit. He got the glasses on. I ain't going to lie. When I saw him, I was like, hold on. I don't know who is this? Like, I'm supposed to be. Maybe I joined the wrong meeting. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I put the wrong numbers in and all that. You know, whatever. But, my man Jerv is in the building. And like he said, we do have a guest. Very esteemed guest, you know what I'm saying? If you follow us on Twitter, you follow me on Instagram, you know, you already know who it is. But if you don't, I'll just let him introduce himself for y'all, man.
Well, greetings, y'all. My name is Anthony Canton III. Blessed to be with you gentlemen this evening. And I did want to lead off with my own rap name. I'm Poet AC. And I figure I'm going to come in here if I'm going to be the poet.
Poet AC. I ain't going to lie. If I saw a dude on the mixtape joint said Poet AC, I already know. Like, they got to close the tape with that. I know he's going to be spitting some real shit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a good beat. You know what I mean? Backpack type wave. I'm with it. I'm with all that.
Yeah, of course. And of course, considering the name of this podcast, I figure I might as well come and bless y'all gentlemen with a few words. And
let's do it.
Yeah, let me just say a little something like this. I didn't get true fame till I got my rap name, Poet AC. I have no shame. I won't stay in my lane like Franklin. I left the cane. Sugar, it's not the Mary Jane. I don't stay in my lane. This joint sounds insane in my brain, but I do it to release the pain. Wavy like Mariano, Homer like Soriano, like The Simpsons, I never limped in. I ain't simping, just call me the linchpin. No grifting, just lifting. And that's why I'm different and consistent. The way is so persistent. I hope you didn't miss it. Unlike Jerv, we gonna do this today. Rap Names, the podcast, in every special way.
Hey.
Yeah, that's my type of shit right there.
That's
how you set the fucking tone for the pod right there. Listen, man.
Yeah, I'm always gonna put my contacts back in, dog. I might have to take these fucking glasses off.
Listen,
yo.
Dog. That's my type of. Did you see how he started off like he was about to take it easy and then he sped up the flow and went with, like, he just. Oh, man. So listen, we 100% did not know that this is what was going, you know. I appreciate that 100% though, AC. Like, that
I had to come prepare for y'all. Like, y'all are my homies. Y'all are my friends, whatever you want to call it. We rolled together. So I had to come with something. So,
you know, last week I said, what's rap without features? What's rap without rap? You know what I'm saying? What's rap without actual rap?
What is rap without rap? That is, hey, put that on the fucking board, bro. What is rap without rap?
That's it, man. I know you fucking with that, Jerv. So let's get right into it, man. You know, we always start the show off with the quick hits. So we want to talk about the current music rotation. AC, since you know the guest on the show, if you want to talk about either what you're listening to at the moment or, you know, something that you haven't checked out yet that you're going to peep or whatever, what's your current music rotation looking like?
Well, I mean, I know you guys are going to get to it in a second, and we'll definitely talk about Conway the Machine. But me currently, I especially with the passing of DMX, I've been in a really DMX vibe. Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, obviously, It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Those two particularly to me, it takes me back to a time when I listened to them when I was in like the sixth or seventh grade. It's when I remember I begged my mom to buy the album. And she was like, wait, this got parental advisory. I was like, mom, please, please, please give me that album. So, you know, fortunately she did. And I just remember with the CD player, just sitting in my bed and listening to all of them songs. And it's like, you can go like, I mean, we know the catalog. We know what it is and stuff like that. So those songs, specifically on those first two albums, kind of like hit home for me as a you know, pre-teenager, pre-adolescent. And you know, I wasn't always the most popular kid back then, so like I kind of stayed to myself, and it's kind of where in a lot of ways the poetry comes from that place. So that stuff, when he died, like I really felt it. It was a very yeah, difficult moment, because it's a part of your childhood, it's a part of your youth. So that's what I've been kind of focused on as of late. So I've just been reliving the stuff that the great Earl Simmons brought to us.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all, man. Jerv, what you messing with right now, man?
So for me, I'm kind of in the same boat the A season. I've been listening to a lot of X a lot lately. Hold on, let me. We got this motorcycle. I start over.
As soon as you said X, it's no coincidence that the motorcycles are starting. Like, it's X, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's a sign right there.
Nah, it's 87 degrees in Philly, my G, and Negroes is out. Negroes is out. So yeah, no, I mean, for me, man, I've been listening to a lot of X, just like AC said. I tried, I don't know if people on Twitter, but I saw everybody talking about, what's his name? Moneybagg Yo or whatever.
Yeah, Moneybagg Yo.
Yeah. I tried, you know what I'm saying? Like, I tried, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't just trash it for the sake of trash. It's not bad. It's just not for me. You know what I mean? It's just not for me. Like,
there you go.
It's
yeah.
For my man over there, it's for you. But for me, how I like my style, how what I like, it's not for me, dog.
I feel you, man.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I still been heavy in my X bag. I think that after our show we did with the ladies, I kind of was listening to some old Foxy. I think what's the joint? El Nana. I think that's the album. That's the first joint. So I've been listening to that. You know, you always find a little Hove and little Beans and all that sprinkled into my rotation. So for the most part, is I just listen to 90s and early 2000s music, man.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I've been myself. I've been, you know, obviously I went back and visited, and then there was X. You know, specifically that album, because that's an album that I remember, like AC said, I had my mom buy me the cassette of that, like when it dropped. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember this vividly, like, and just because my thing about X when I was young, with him specifically, was when I used to hear him on the radio or I used to see a video, I used to be so mad when the song went off, because it would be like, dog, I want to hear that song 100 times. I want to hear like more of it. So when I got that in my possession, it was like, oh, I'm good. I'm lit now. Like, I could just play this whenever I want. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely went back and revisited that. But other than that, I've been heavy on music from the city, you know, from Detroit. I've been listening to 42 Doug a lot. Young and Turnt 1 and 2, flawless. Like, for anybody that hasn't checked out Doug yet, man, like, that kid is good. That kid is special, man. Babyface Ray, Vezo. You know, just I've just been tapping back in with that. You know what I mean? I tend to do that from time to time. I get into a zone where, like, it's a week or two straight, I'm listening to nothing but Detroit music. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm on right now. Obviously, the Conway, you know, album, you know, we about to get into that, talk about that real quick. So, you know, Conway dropped as we predicted. You know, Jerv said, nah, we got to give ourselves some credit. We predicted that. We called that early. Conway dropped La Machina, you know what I mean? Which is, it's the machine in Spanish, right? The first time I heard him say that, I want to say it was on, what was it? It was a song called, I don't know if it was called Basquiat. It's something like that or whatever, but it was him and West Side Gunn. He was, you know, he had a bar in there where he referenced that, and he called himself La Machina. This was years ago. Pardon my dog, for he heard us talking about X, and he's wilding out right now. But, yeah, so he talked about that, you know, a couple years ago. He put that name out there in the air. So he finally dropped the album, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Jerv.
So for me, you know, it was Conway. It was what I expected. I was pleased with the project. He did what I did not want him to do, or what I don't like for artists to do. I'm looking for the song right now, but it's a track where I felt like he tried to be too.
You talking about with the flow? I don't give a fuck.
It might be that joint. Yeah. I was just kind of just like.
I could tell. I already knew.
Like, yeah, I know what you're doing, bruh. You know what I mean? I get it.
You ain't got to do that.
You ain't the one that got to do that, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just give us what we came for. You know what I'm saying? Right. The boom, 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 booms and, you know, all that, whatever. But I was pleased that he had the team on a track. Although I will say.
We're going to talk about that.
You might be upset with me. It didn't feel like an authentic Griselda track, though, to me.
What?
It didn't. You talking like about the last track?
What?
Is that the last John? That's the last one.
Because the beat on that one goes, boy.
No, it does. I think. I don't know.
I like that. That was actually my second.
I'm not saying I don't like it.
6:30 tip off. I really think, like 6:30 tip off.
So I think they set the bar so high on their tracks together. I don't know. Like I felt like it made me want to go rob somebody. Not that I would ever do that, but like that's what they do. They usually make me want to go rob you or whatever. And I felt like on that track, you can tell there's something there with them. Like something didn't like feel right.
Okay.
With the track.
I feel like
I'm not saying the track's not good. No. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not trying to say I wouldn't listen to it, but like following like their timeline over the last couple months, the year or whatever the case may be, where it's been a little slick shit said and all this, that, and third. Like to me, it just felt like one of them games where like the chemistry.
But maybe that's why though. Maybe that's why because I watched the Conway interview with Bootleg Kev, right? Shout out to Bootleg Kev. Some of the best interviews you can watch out there. And Conway was basically just like, look, some of the tweets that I have out here is just the way I am. It's just I talk, I play, whatever, and the fam know that. Cause they are like legit fam, they're blood family. That's one. Two, he said, yeah, we're growing apart, but not in the way that you might think, because I got drum work. Westside Gunn has, his own thing he got going on with fashion. Benny got BSF, but it's all like family. Like we just may not have time to pull up to the show. Or we may not have time to, do the verse or send this in or whatever, but we talking all the time. There's only so many hours in the day where we got responsibilities and we got our own endeavors and shit like that. So I get it. I 100% get it because we're so conditioned as fans to like expect the breakup when we start falling in love with a rap group or a label or whatever. But Griselda isn't a group. It's a label. True. And we just look at them as a group because we always hear them together. But the original concept of what they are now, the name of that song is what they were going to be initially. They were going to be SE Gang before Machine Gun Black was murdered. And when that happened, it was like, all right, cool. We still want to do this rap shit. Conway gets shot, and it's like Westside Gunn is putting the whole thing on his back. So now it's Griselda. Westside Gunn is his own artist. Conway is his own artist. Benny is his own artist. Now we're just seeing what happens when a label or a group, however we see them, actually does what they're supposed to do, where it's like you got to put the next person on. This is what 50 Cent wanted for G-Unit. If you ever listen to 50 Cent interviews, he wanted that. He wanted to, I want Yayo to put the next person on. I want Banks to put the next person on, which Banks tried to put Meek Mill on. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. But I get what you're saying. I do 100% get what you're saying on that end.
Yeah, like I'm not saying it's a bad song. Like there's bars in it. Like the Ben Simmons line is crazy. When I first heard it, I said, oh shit. But what I'm saying is whatever that song was, it was on Benny's last, not on the Plug 2, but the one before that. It don't matter what time, day or night. Hand me the all black Air Force Ones. I need a black hoodie. I need black Dickies, and I need to tighten my hoodie up. This one was more like, yo, I'm saying? Oh, all right, here you go. This is the squad. The squad did a track together. what I mean?
I'm talking about War Paint is the song you're talking about.
Yeah. I know everybody. I know anyone that listens to me. I know when I say certain things a certain way, y'all off top just think, oh, I'm shitting on it. Oh, no. Like, I like
it. No.
I like
no,
the
no,
song.
No, no.
I think
that's
why
I had to.
Cool.
That's why I had to it make just, sure I was clear
it was
in
just
saying
different.
I get exactly what you're saying, and like I'm not mad at that, but I think that you have the four elements that makes a Griselda song. You have Westside Gunn rapping the verse, not just like doing a hook or just talking. You got Conway, you got Benny, and then you got Danger on the production, and then you got the added bonus is the name of the song is SE Gang. Like it's to me, that is a like. If you don't think it's like the best Griselda song, like the Griselda Big Three, it's up there. My personal opinion, there's a song called Nitro that I think is the best Griselda song of their of their collaborative efforts, like the Big Three. I call it the Griselda Big Three when it's all together. I think Nitro is the best Big Three song. That's just to me, But what did you think about it, AC? We didn't get your thoughts on it yet.
Well, As I told you guys before we started, the only reason I listened to this album was because of y'all. Because I am a lot like Jerv in the sense where I am very like stay in my lane, listen to my old school hip hop for the most part. Like when it comes to new shit, I'm not gonna really go out on something. This is something that my brother always gets on me about. Well, you only listening to Drake and Kendrick and all this other stuff and stuff like that. But y'all told me that this was gonna be on the rundown, so I figured let me go check it out. Be prepared. So I listened to it yesterday. And, you know, being my first introduction to this, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the album. I thought there was a lot of, good tracks. The one thing I do have to say, the song with Ludacris on it, wow, is Luda cold out here. Jesus, like, he limped in with that verse at the end, boy. I was like, dog, you made me say
this.
Park it.
Let me say this, not to cut you off, but the JID kid, I had never really given him a fair shake before this. And when I was listening to it, I was like, maybe I need to go listen to him bit more. Because I enjoyed that verse a lot, and he reminded me of Pusha T a little bit. And I'm not trying to compare. I'm not trying to say he raps like Pusha T. It's not that. But what he did with his voice on the song, I was like, okay, like this is kind of I like this verse. So I went back and I listened to a couple of songs of his, and he can really rap. Like that, like really rap. I'll say that.
It really was. And so, like, you get that verse, and then you get the Luda verse, and I'm like, damn, this song really went. That one didn't really, obviously, the end didn't hit for me there, but I mean, the song you guys were just talking about, SE Gang, I love that song.
Oh my God.
That shit is fire. What?
No. And this is the thing, like, I don't know. Like I said, Jerv, maybe it's because of the shit that's been going on. It's like clouded the judgment, but I feel like that's the essence of like Griselda when they was doing like what's the joint? They got a tape that's on like SoundCloud. Like if you visit the GXFR SoundCloud, you're gonna find so many gems from the Griselda archive. Like it's honestly my favorite thing to do music wise. Like, and I'm not even bullshitting. It's not even hyperbole. My favorite thing to do with music right now is to go to the Griselda SoundCloud and just completely zone out for however many hours I decide to do this. But, you know, shout out to Conway. The album's fire. I think that we can, you know, the general consensus that the album's fire. Mm-hmm. You know, we fuck with that. So let's transition into something a little more bright. Like we just went from like Buffalo hardcore street hip hop to, let's go to shows and movies that we watch with our kids, because this list right here gets a little different. This ain't not nothing to do with, you know, no street shit, nothing at all. Like, this is absolutely family man time. We all family men, you know what I mean? 9 to 5, law-abiding citizens, you know what I mean? And that's not allegedly. We really are. We're not breaking the law or none of that. So
I don't break the law, but I definitely have come up on some shit off the back of a truck, but allegedly.
Allegedly.
I still do that. I mean, listen, I'm a wash dad, my G, but when we come to Nas the shop man. With the, yo, my man, I got the Beats headphones for the low.
Shout out to Nas, who said, I live a clean life. I don't even steal cable. I speak for myself. My nigga's a slave. Like, just, but yes, but anyway, so we talking about the shows and movies that we watch with our kids. I'll say this, like, one of the main things that's been a constant in my life is Daniel the Tiger. It's been a constant in my life for years. I want to say since like maybe 2012-ish. Mm-hmm. Daniel the Tiger, it caught my attention because like my kids, they all of them have watched Daniel the Tiger, all of them, from the oldest to the youngest, right? I like Daniel the Tiger because first of all, he's a tiger that can talk. That's first of all, that's a plus. He got a good hoodie game, good sneaker game. And he always wearing a good watch. It's a gold watch. Like, what's not to like about this kid? Like, he got his flaws. You know what I'm saying? He's a kid. You know what I mean? He's flawed. But he's a good dude. I think he's a good dude. That's like the number one thing. Movie-wise, I've seen Shrek 1 and 2 probably 1,000 times because my son, like, absolutely loves Shrek. Loves it. Absolutely. Like, you put Shrek on, he gonna chill. He gonna do the, I don't know if y'all saw the Ving Rhames joint, like, from Baby Boy, when he telling this girl, like, the shits, like, oh, hold on. Like, that's what my son gonna do when Shrek come on and all that. So, you know, what's going on in your households as far as shows and movies and all that with your kids?
Well, for me particularly, Josiah has always kind of been on, and, you know, he just turned 2 a couple weeks ago, and Sesame Street. Shout out to the Young King. Yeah, man. They get big too fast, man. Like, Jesus. Like, it goes by too quickly, but nonetheless, Sesame Street is the thing that, you know, he's not like really like watching movies like that yet, but I would say Sesame Street, loves Elmo, big fan of Cookie Monster. By the way, I'm a big fan of Cookie Monster myself. I mean, it's funny, like, I put on the Cookie Monster album, because they got the album, and Cookie Monster has this song where he almost becomes like a philosopher, and he starts talking about, man, I really want to eat this cookie, but this is the last cookie, and if I eat this cookie, then what's going to happen to my life next? The way that he talks about it is just like, what is this? I wasn't expecting getting this deep into stuff. And yeah, he loves that. He dances to that. Right now he has started to transition to stuff like, he's watching Cocomelon.
Cocomelon, get your kid to Cocomelon. Oh, there's a video out there. I don't know if it's on TikTok or whatever.
ABC Kids.
There's a video where you know, they just played the Cocomelon song to get to see their kids' reaction. Every single time that it's played, the kids stop what they're doing and they run over to the screen like, yo, what's up? Like, what you, that's that? Oh, all right.
And then one last thing. All of a sudden, like, and this happened like a month or two ago, all of a sudden now he's watching the Korean alphabet on YouTube. And I'm just like,
yo, huh? Bruh, yeah. That's crazy. The same thing happening over here. Out of nowhere. Right. Like, I think Haven caught it on some watching like something on YouTube, and you know how something it just randomly comes on afterwards.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, I'm in the room, but like, I'm there, but I'm doing stuff myself, but I got my eye on her, but I'm not really, I'm comfortable with what's going to tell. And then I look up and I'm just starting to hear, I'm like, wait, what did they talk? I'm like, yo, is my daughter.
So every household is the same. That's what I'm getting from this, because 1,000% we've had to look at Landon and be like, bro, you might learn another language before you learn English, because you're watching all these like Spanish and Korean and all of these videos. Like, it, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm guessing all our shit is the same, because that's
yeah, the Spanish you're doing too. And you know, it's good for him, because he got a little bit of he got a little bit of Spanish blood in him, so you know, might as well get started early before my mom starts teaching him a little bit.
So for me, I'm kind of in the same boat as you are, AC. Like, I'm not Haven isn't necessarily watching movies yet. She does have movies that she liked. Like, at one point in time, her movie was Princess and the Frog. She really liked that movie. And then it transformed into Lion King. Lion King's her thing. But she's kind of, I don't want to say she's past it, but it's kind of just like, Lion King. No, well, I've seen it so many times. Like, that's her vibe with it. She doesn't really have movies yet that she's watching. Bad Dad Moment. I definitely was watching Dark Knight Rises. with her the other day, and I was shocked at how locked she was on that joint. But then I realized, I was like, yo, this is so bad. Like you can't watch this. There's so many fight scenes on this joint.
Man, nigga, my son didn't watch The Sopranos with me, so you good. You in the clear. Batman is safe.
Yeah. But like, as far as like TV shows, my daughter's heavy into, she's heavy into Blippi. She's heavy into Elmo. We love AC. I don't know if, Mar, yours might be too little too old for it. But AC, I don't know if you hip to it yet. Elmo's talk show that comes on HBO Max.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The not so late show.
The not so late show with Elmo. Oh my god, dude! Yeah. It's the nighttime staple. We gotta watch.
My son is two. Like my son is two. I'm gonna check that out.
Oh yeah, okay.
He has an Elmo. Yeah. He has an Elmo that he like. He loves Elmo like 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah, Elmo that he got is super cool and all that. So I wasn't even up on that. I'm gonna check it out tonight.
It's legit. Elmo has a talk show and like
yeah,
AC, you know how you was just like, yo, you fool with Cookie Monster. I had a moment like about a month ago. I was just like, damn, I feel weird, but yo, Elmo cool as shit to me. Like I just really fuck with Elmo, dog.
Bro, listen, Elmo is cool. Elmo is like advanced because Elmo is like, yo, give me a hug. Like, yo, it's love. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me. You know, it's what it is. Elmo is like very important to me. I think, you know what I'm saying? Just as far as like listen, expressing the feelings and letting you know, like it's cool to do this, you know?
I let me say this about Elmo. A few months back, I seen this joint. Somebody put it on Twitter. It was on somebody's TikTok where Elmo's getting mad at the other puppet. I can't remember the girl's name because she wanted to give a rock a cookie. Elmo was so heated. It was so like real life type stuff that he was so mad. You know what? I'm gonna send it to y'all when.
Yeah, please do.
I'm oh my gosh, Elmo the content, rock was named bro. Rocco.
Yeah,
and word. Elmo was just Zoe. Zoe kept saying, Rocco's gonna get a chance to swing first. Elmo's like, he's a rock. and then of course when Elmo was trying to get the oatmeal cookie, Zoe goes, "No, this is for Rocco." Elmo's like, and the Elmo just went off. That Elmo just went off.
Yeah.
It was too funny.
Yo, he's a rock, yo. Like, what do you mean? Like, okay, playtime's over. Like, he's a rock. Let me get the cookie.
Like, dog. You know, shout out to Rocco and all that, but I'm gonna need that from you. Like, yeah.
Rocco, you make perfect sense, right?
It makes perfect sense, man. Look at the duality. Look at the duality of this pod. We went from talking about Conway the Machine to Elmo. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, and I love that. I love that for us, man.
Shout out to all the watch dads out there, man.
Yeah, nah, because if you...
Y'all stay up, man. It's real out here. Don't believe the hype, man. You may be washed like, by what you used to be, but you're not washed.
Yeah, and it's the thing. I think what it is we got to come up with a new name. I think you reserved, not washed. Reserved.
I mean, bro, I don't mind being washed. I don't mind the wash. I kind of embrace it.
Because, to be honest with you.
No.
Like, I know I'm I'm washed, but I'm not washed. Like, I feel like I'm cool. So like, it's
reserved. Yeah, that's why I want to go with reserved, because it's like you might see somebody that's reserved. They chilling, and you're like, oh, he ain't. Nah, he just not showing you that. He chilling. You know what I mean? Yeah, but
and my sneaks is better than sneaks is better.
And that's why. And that's why I don't want to keep saying so washed because. Like, washed is when you fully accept it.
I got like the lame side bump of it. On your face.
See, you feel me? And it's like, I know I can go in my closet and I can pick an outfit by accident and be fresher than, you know, most of the, you know, we ain't getting all that, but whatever. So I want to say reserved versus washed. Like we reserve dads. That sounds like I'm an episode title. I think we might've called it that.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even at the gym. People, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Right now, bomb listeners. That's right. This podcast that you're listening to, Black Opinions Matter. You guys all go to lucy.co and use promo code BOM to get 20% off all products on your first order. including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy, L-U-C-Y, .co, and use promo code B-O-M at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code B-O-M.
I thought about this topic recently. We just moved into a new spot about a week ago. And I was like, man, like this is every time we have to move or there's a heavy thing to be lifted or something to be done, I always get reminded that like I'm the man of the house, right? And when I was coming up, being the man of the house was something you was like aspire for because like either your pop told you that or your mom told you that or you saw it on TV, you just, whatever it was, right? So the idea of being the man of the house was a thing, right? I want to ask you guys, has being the man of the house, has that title been what you thought it would be when you were growing up, or did you have like some surprises where you was like, oh shit, I didn't know this had to, you know, whatever, like how you feel about it?
I want to hear Jerv on this first.
I say for me, it was definitely a shock value of it. But I think that's how I look at most things in life. You know what I mean? Like you don't really ever understand what it really is until you actually put into it. Whether it's being married, whether it's getting married, whether it's, you know, having a child, whether it's, you know, packing everything and saying, yo, we out, you know, and we about to go live over here, or I got this job, you know, whatever. Like you don't really ever understand it. So, you know, there's really no handbook on it. And then, you know, shout out to all the dads that put their sons on that are now, whether it be head of households, whether it be raising kids, you know, whatever, you know, they instilled this stuff in them to make us, you know, be able to adapt and handle situations. But to answer your question, you know, like I really wish there was a handbook on it. You know what I mean? Because it would have benefited me a lot in my journeys over the last couple of years. But at the same time, like, you know, I wouldn't trade anything for the bumps and bruises and the growing pains and the you know what I mean? And just the learning aspect of everything, because, you know, the best class is the actual going through the process and all that shit. So, you know, whether it's moving, you know, whether you are handling it all yourself, or you got the homies coming through and they helping you out, or, you know, whether it's, yo, this bug, you know, whatever, like there, you know, when you're in that position, one of the things that I've learned is that, ain't no days off, you know what I'm saying? Mom's got, you know, and same thing for moms, you know, I couldn't even fathom, you know, having to be the matriarch in a household and having to do all the things that, you know, as a man, you can't even fucking think about, or the shit that you legit take for granted, or, you know what I mean, just think happen and don't even realize that the missus or whatever your situation may be, it's not that shit, you know, I know what, I'm sorry, I compare it to this. Like, y'all watch The Office? Y'all watch
Absolutely.
The Office?
Absolutely.
So you remember that episode where Dwight went to Staples and he left the company and Michael came back in and he was like,
yo, get him back.
No, not even that, but like, yo, like, mm-hmm. yo, the cleaning crew didn't put out my fucking toys the way they used to do, or they, you know, the plant over there is dying and shit, like shit that you can't even think about.
Yeah.
You know, that you just think happens, but for some reason somebody's doing it or whatever, you know, it's you know, whatever, whatever the situation may be, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. So I, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Learning experiences with every aspect of life.
I think the thing that I've learned the most about this whole thing, not only being a father and the man of the house aspect, is the term of sacrifice. I remember before my son was born, I had a conversation with Mari about it. And I remember telling him at the time, I did not understand in marriage, at least initially, what the word sacrifice actually means. Because idealistically, you could be like, hey, oh yeah, I'll sacrifice this time or whatever. But then when the stuff happens and then you're in it and then you do something that, you know, doesn't fit with the term, then that's when you learn that, oh, you're not sacrificing yet. So it becomes tenfold when you have a child. And the man of the house thing, you know, in terms of what I think of it as opposed to what I thought of it as a kid, I think now you gain a greater appreciation for not only my dad, but my mom too, and my wife specifically. Like the aspect of what women are tasked to do is just really extraordinary. And it's little stuff like begging my wife to say, hey, I know I did this show last night, but I had to come on with the homies tonight. Can you just let me get a little time so I could talk? And knowing that she's still working and taking care of him at the same time, it's that type of stuff that when you see her doing that for you, you have to understand that when it's her time to take her time, then you have to step up for that as well. Like if she needs to go out and take care of something or whatever. Mari, you mentioned moving. I moved in this past October. And, you know, not only trying to organize people to, you know, lift everything and kind of just, you know, change addresses, rent the U-Haul truck and all that other stuff and kind of get stuff together. You know, a lot of that, not everybody's capable of it. And I would not necessarily denigrate people who aren't, but as I always say, when it comes to not only getting married, but having children, is that if you're going to do it all the way. It's not a halfway thing. You got to do it all the way. Yep. Because what's going to end up happening is one of you, whether it's you or your significant other, there's going to be some resentment if you're not putting all of your energy and all of your effort into the stuff. There always is. And then by proxy, your kid suffers because of it. Because when mommy and daddy are at odds, you know, the kid is going to suffer in one way or another. So you have to think of all those things while you're doing them. You have to think of them all the time. And it's like this encompassing, like Jerf said, no days off at all. You're thinking about it and that has to be your focus. And it can be very draining. It can be. But what pushes you past it is not only the love, but understanding the respect that you have for your, not only your significant other, but your child. And you push it from there.
Nah, you know what? Everything that both of y'all just said is like 100% accurate, because it's like, I asked that question initially because it's the perception versus the reality of it, you know, and when you're on the outside looking in, everything looks good. Even like being famous, being a rapper, being an actor, being an entertainer, you know, some aspect, it all looks good. It looks, you know, it's like you hear people, and then you even hear people talk about, oh man, that dude or that, you know, she, oh yeah. And you want to be it. But when it's you, and you have to respond to those situations and you have to like meet certain deadlines and you got to do this, like then you finally understand like what it actually means to be that, you know what I mean? And like AC, you touched on something that was important, where it's like, you can't even imagine what like a mom is going through, you know what I mean? Like, cause you know, you just can't, it's no way to put yourself in those shoes. You can try to relate as much as possible, but at the same time it's, you know, they might be responsible for handling the things that you just don't want to deal with. You know,
so, and that's Mari, if I may, just to give you a quick example, I remember you talking about this with me before, just something as simple as going to the doctor. We go to the doctor together, yep. But wife got the yellow card with the growth chart and all of the things, the percentiles of the head size and all of these other things.
Because there are certain things that we're afforded by having, you know, great women in our lives, you know, just having a great significant other in your life, regardless, you know, but, you know, my situation is having a great woman in my life makes my life a lot easier because it's certain things that I just, that I don't want to do. If I had to do them, I would. If I was a single man, I would be making these calls to pay the bill and do this, that, and the third. But because I don't have to, I try not to take that for granted because it's like, I know that it requires work. She works. She tackles the finances as far as like scheduling things to get paid and like, oh, I had to call because it was a dispute about this, whatever, whatever. Me, I bring the money to the table. Here you go. You know what I'm saying? Let's do what we need to do with this. And that's that. But I don't take it for granted that you have to make that call. You have to send that email. You have to send that text or you got to listen to that voicemail about, you know, whatever, because those are things that I just, you know, run your household the way you want, live your life the way you want. But for me, I just don't like doing those things. I don't like having like these conversations with people, speak to a representative. And, yeah, I just had called because blah, blah, blah. I just don't like it. You know, she doesn't mind that, but it still takes work. Just because somebody doesn't mind doing something, it doesn't mean that you should put them in a situation where they have to do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of those things too. So for me, I think my experience being like, you know, the man of the house is more so like, I kind of was prepared for this, but I didn't really know what it was going to entail until I was in it. Because before, mm-hmm. as a single man, if I don't go get my license renewed on time, it only affect me. As a married man with kids, I can't drive the kids over here because if I get pulled over, it's a wrap. The car won't get took and nah, this is going to slow up and not, you know, whatever.
And they don't care how cute your baby is, bro.
Oh, no. Nope. No. Hell
they don't give a fuck.
Get that, you know, crazy change, too.
That only worked one time.
Inspections, all that shit.
That worked one time with me, Joe. I'm glad you mentioned that because we was on our way home and we got stopped. It was something petty. It was something petty that they could have absolutely like took to the full extent of the law if they wanted to, but the homie looked in the back seat, he saw a baby girl. She was like maybe one at the time, maybe one, maybe two. And he looked in the back and he saw her and he was like, man, like, you know, and he just looked at her and he was just like, all right, man, look, you say y'all just going around the corner. So, you know, I know you got your beautiful family with you. Go ahead. I'm gonna let y'all rock. But make sure you going over there because if I pull around and I see y'all doing something else, I'm gonna have to, you know, whatever. So I was like, all right, cool. But even things like that, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with situations, confrontations or just whatever it is. Like, you know, being a man of the house is so much more than just about being, you know, displays of like, oh, I'm tough. Nah, it's like just being that security blanket for everybody. Because there's responsibility that comes with being a man of the house. They trust you. They trust you. They look up to you. Like, you inspire them. Because it's like, this is the man of the house. Not that your lady, your wife, whoever, couldn't handle this. But at the same time, you're there for that reason because it's like, yeah, this is the person that we look to for strength, or this is the person that, you know, whatever. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but like my household, I don't necessarily believe in like the gender roles thing. You know what I mean? I believe in roles as far as like we're a team. So you do that, I'm gonna do this. And if you need me to pick up the slack in that area, I will. You know, can you pick up the slack over here for me and we help each other? But I don't agree with like, yeah, I'm gonna do this and then you go over there and do this. You cook, you clean, you do this. Like, nah, I'm gonna do my part. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's part of being a man of the house.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people have to understand that these things have changed over time. It isn't 1975 anymore. Right. And I think of just like simple things like I've started to bake now. Like that's a thing that I do and stuff like that. I baked my son's cake and my son's birthday cake and my wife did the frosting and all the decorations and stuff this year. So yeah. From a teamwork standpoint there, that's just something. I'll clean the bathroom. She'll clean the living room and stuff like that. I'll go get the groceries. She makes the food. Like, you absolutely. Know, sometimes you change this. Sometimes, listen, I can get right in there with the Pampers boy.
It's give and take. It's a lot of give and take where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you as long as I'm here, you never going to have to bring a bag of groceries in the house. But now if you need me to assemble something and it's my off day from work and I, you know, I go bust my ass at work, like just work with me. Give me a couple hours. Let me chill. Let me rock for a second. I know you want it done. I'll do it. let me just get this nap in. Let me just get the Papa Bear nap in real quick. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I think we all come from different, you know, perspectives, you know, when it comes to this. But I think we can all agree that it's one of those things where until you're in it, you don't actually know like the ramifications of it or like just like what comes with it. You know, so
yeah, and it doesn't matter what anybody tells you either. Like yeah. You can get advice and that's cool and that's fine. But until you have that moment where you're bringing your kid home from the hospital,
yeah,
and then that's when it like you, that initial moment when they're born is full of euphoria. You know, you're just happy that they came out healthy and safe and all that stuff. Yes. And you get all the congratulations and everything and all that stuff washes over you. But when you go home, that's when it kid. Really starts.
I'm going to tell you, and dog, that shit.
Everything is different.
Bro, when you in a hospital and you think that you're about to get that sleep finally because you've been up for 2 days, and then you look up like y'all in the hospital.
Ain't no sleep. Look
up, yeah, listen, you look up and you're like, all right, bet. And you close your eyes and there's something in your head. It's like, make sure your baby's good. You look up, they looking right at you. You're like, yeah, I got a baby. I got a real baby mm-hmm. now. Like
to this day, I still do that. To this day, like facts. I mean, I remember early on in Haven's life, like I'm talking maybe like you know month 4 or 5 or mm-hmm. something like that, and you know putting her down to go to sleep, and I would just go upstairs and just like yeah, I got the monitor, but I need the physical. I just want to make sure she's still breathing.
Absolutely. Right?
And every day that she's still breathing, bro, like I just take that as a victory.
Yeah. You know how many times I done got eye level with their chest, like this shit going
yes.
up.
Yeah, cool. Like,
and then you can't really tell from far away, like he's taking a nap, and it's like you really gotta look, and you're going like this.
I'm risking. I'm risking waking him up. I'm putting my ear up to them. Like, was that a breath? All right, cool. Yeah. Yeah,
like I just went for I started doing biking I ain't doing all that shit. I started riding my bike with Haven on it, like biking insinuates that like yo I'm out here, yeah I'm not doing all that. But you know I started riding my bike and the weather's been nice, and it kind of threw me off the last time I went. I had a lot of like a lot of older couples or just older people in general that saw Haven on the back of the bike with me, just like giving me a thumbs up and like, oh, you know, good stuff. And while I appreciate it, it always throws me off because I'm just like, why are y'all? I'm supposed to do. Like, I can't see this being any other way. Yep. No matter any type of situation, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you have a you know, whatever your situation may be, like I don't understand how you can't figure out a way to get it. So it you know, it baffled me seeing people like congratulating me or saying good job or whatever. But you know, like I'm the same way, dude. Like when she go to sleep now, even now to this day, I will turn over, I will look at the monitor, I'll walk over to her crib, bruh. And I'll stand there because I'm like, she good.
I'm gonna tell y'all this. Prepare yourself for when they get old enough to text you, because my baby girl is 6. So she'll text me while I'm at work and be like, daddy, when you come home, can you come talk to me? Like, I want to know how your day was. Like, she'll text me this. Or she'll be like, I want to tell you about my day. And getting those type of texts is like, you know, that shit always, I always got to like catch myself like, damn, I'm about to fucking cry right now, dog. Because like, this is my kid. This is my kid. And she's behaving this way. And it's like, it's incredible, dog, like for real. So just to hear y'all say that, you know, but Jerv, to your point, I think that's just a tale of the times, man. Like, we're getting congratulated for doing what we're supposed to do because we live in an era where so many people don't. So it's kind of like you see somebody doing what they're supposed to do, and now it's like that's like applauding somebody for knowing the difference between there, and there. Like, you would think you should know that, but when you see somebody use it correctly, it's
hold
like,
up, bro. Oh, yeah. Hold up, bro. Don't be judging them people, because I'll tell you this. You want to talk about tense? You want to talk about nervousness? When I'm typing them emails out and it comes to there, then like all that, and I go back and I'm looking, I feel so proud of myself when I get it all right the first time.
Shout out
to you, so easy to like it. So don't, we're not bashing them today, bro. No, I mean, no, we're not going to bash them today.
We're not bashing them. What I'm saying is, when you see somebody get it right, I'm not talking about the people who get it wrong. Not at all. Okay. I'm talking about you see somebody who get it right. You look at them, just like how you just said, you feel so proud when you get it right, right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's it. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. But so one more topic before we close out, and I just want to get you guys' thoughts on this. And it's about participation trophies for kids. Like, where do you stand on, you know, one, the system of, like, having them, you know, right, having participation trophies? How do you feel about it when it comes to, like, your kids, seeing kids get them or whatever? Like, what's your thought process on that? Jerv, I want to start with you because I see you reacting to it already. I want to start
Man,
with
let
you.
Me tell you something, dog. Back in my day, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. Back in my day, ain't no damn participation trophy. You either came in first, you came in second, you came in third place. That's it. So I don't really do all, like, I feel like we can talk about these kids being this, that, and the third. It's our fault. We were upset as kids when we didn't get trophies and all that shit. So somewhere down the line, we whether it be my generation or I'm a little older, so my generation or y'all generation or just, whatever the generation is, we decided somewhere down the line to be like, you know what? Here you go. You tried really hard. Here's a trophy. And while I understand it, I don't like it whatsoever because I felt like as a kid, I understood, hey, you know, like I was on a baseball team that was dead last one year, right? Got nothing at the sports banquet. The next year we came back, we came in second place. You know what I mean? We didn't chip up. I'm not going to gas the story. But like we worked hard that offseason. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like participation trophies, I understand, and I know there's going to be a million people. Oh, yo, nah, yo, because, well, listen, you do you. I'm telling you right now, Haven Gervais ain't getting no damn participation trophy. And if that, I can't stop them from giving her, but I'm going to tell you this. One side of a room is going to be clearly for the participation trophies, and the other side of the room is going to be clearly for the, hey, I achieved something. You know, and, you know what I'm saying? Because I want to definitely instill that there's a difference between, hey, you know, I played basketball this year as opposed to, hey, you know, I got most improved person or I got hardest worker. And I'm not trying to say it's all got to be championships and stuff like that, but there's hardest worker, there's sportsmanship. There's all these type different things, you know, that are out there that don't necessarily just include winning, but they're just different than participation. And I just feel like participation trophies aren't earned, if that makes sense. And I feel like I just ruffled a shitload of feathers, but I don't care. It's whatever. I got time.
I mean, you didn't really ruffle mine.
Oh, no, not you. Racy, I think we good. I'm talking about everybody else. Trust me.
Yeah, but, well, like, I don't necessarily, like, agree 100% because I think a lot of these things depend on age. Like, if it's, for instance, me, I played Little League at, like, I want to say five. I started at, like, 5 or 6 years old or whatever. Okay. And I remember just playing, and they gave me something. Now, to be honest, at that point, I was not told that this was anything of significance. But as I continued playing, and one year we won our championship. I think I was 8 or 9 years old. And that's a different trophy. That's a different thing. So I think as long as you're able to differentiate the things and explain to your kids that, and really like take the time to explain to them, because sometimes, you know, you get lost in the sauce and whatever. And sometimes, and that's the other thing. Kids are around other kids, and other kids' parents have different ideologies and different ways of doing things. So then their kids are going to tell your kids that this is what this is. And then, you know, kids are like sponges. They take everything. So you have to be – the onus is on, I think, the parents and the person in particular to let your kids know that this – you know, there's a difference between the two. I don't mind it myself, but I feel like as long as you – you know, definitively let them know that, hey, this is not something, you know, this is not something that's a big deal. It just shows that you showed up, which, listen, I'm not going to say that that's not a big deal, but at the same time, there's levels to this. So that's kind of,
yeah, I mean, because you know what, brother, there is something to showing up every day, right? There's something into showing up every day. And I know you got to let a kid be a kid and all those aspects. So I get that. To a degree, right? Like, you gotta let a kid, but there, you know, and mind you, Mine's is about to turn two. Yours is two. Mari has one is two, and older ones, right? So it definitely is something where it's like, you know, there is some aspect of, hey, you showed up. This is what it is. But there comes a point. There comes a point where reality got set. It got set the fuck in, right? It got set in, bro. And listen, you ain't getting no reward for every day for clocking in. You got to achieve. You got to do something, right? Yeah. And I don't have a problem with, I don't have a problem with if you are given a certificate or something saying, hey, you know what? I did this year. You know what I mean? Or I participated in the science fair or whatever the case may be. But I know there needs to be a distinct difference between what the winner or whatever the person that achieves the most gets as opposed to the person that just showed up.
No matter, you know what I'm saying? And what you're saying.
Yeah. And it is what, I mean, that's just life.
Here's my thing on participation trophies, right? It's about the lesson that you teach your kids afterwards, right? It's about, regardless, because even, let's say even if your kid win, like your kid is in basketball and they win the tournament, the MVP and all of that, you still have to be careful how you handle them moving forward in that situation, because now you're teaching them that if they don't win something or if they aren't the main person that contributed to the winning, then it don't really matter, or it's not that important or whatever. But my take on participation trophies is this. You should teach your kids to not be satisfied with just participating, but I don't mind kids getting participation trophies because, like, there's a whole – you know, population of kids out there who probably never heard nobody say they was proud of them, or like, you know, told them they was happy for them, or they was, you know, oh, you did a good job or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever their home life is. So my thing is like, that right there should be a reminder or something, a symbol to strive for more. Like, yeah, look, you ain't win this time, but look, you did it, because shit take effort. There's whole adults out here, grown ass adults, who say stuff like, you know, once I cross one thing off my to-do list for the day, I feel accomplished. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you a whole adult. And like, but I get it, because shit take effort, bro. Like, the mental capacity to do it, and like that, you know, the strength to do it or whatever, because you might have been busting your ass at work all week. You get one free day and you expect it to like go above and beyond and do mad shit. But just getting out of bed, cleaning your room, making your bed, you know, cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the bathroom, whatever, like, that's something to be like happy about, proud of yourself about, because you did it. It took effort for you to do it. So I understand the sentiments. Like, yeah, you know, it's winning. I get it. 1,000% I get it. But I don't want it to get lost in like the advancement of kids, and like as far as them feeling like they matter in the grand scheme of things. It's like, yeah, you didn't win, but you entered the shit. You know how many kids didn't even enter the shit because they were scared they was gonna lose? Like, you did that. You did even this little step right here, you know, and that shit meant a lot. So, you know, I'm just of the belief that no matter what your kids get, whether it's the first place trophy, the last place trophy, somewhere in between, that's where the parenting starts. That's where the coaching stops and the parenting starts, because your kid get the big trophy, but it's like, look, don't lose sight of it's a team game. You won the MVP, but you wouldn't have had all those assists if your teammate didn't make that basket when you pass it to him. You know what I'm saying?
You made a really great point there.
Come off that screaming time, y'all wouldn't have won. So it's like, it's a team thing. So I see both sides of it. It's just like, I think it's just a personal thing where it's like, depending on how you run your household, you know what I mean? Like, I would never tell nobody how to parent their kids. Mm-hmm. This is only me giving my opinion on like just how I view things, period, you know, in the world. But I think you should always teach your kids to strive for more. Never let them be satisfied with coming up short, but let them know that, look, you tried your best. You did your thing. You did your best. You tried your best. Let's work harder the next time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's a great point that you made, because I think what happens a lot, especially when it comes to sports, and we hear about it all the time, is parents living vicariously through their kids as opposed to actually just letting them do as they do. And especially if your kid starts to see some type of success, that you made another good point there is, you know, don't push people too far. You know, push them in the sense that get them to do the work, understand what the work is to achieve, but then let them have the fun at the same time and try and find that balance, as opposed to saying like, well, you got to work this hard because I need to see you do this, because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about them, their achievements, their success, and just kind of learning the habits of not, because, you know, sports does help, you know, working together as a team and stuff like that, but also as an individual to make you feel like you've earned something and done something well. So those are really great points there, because a lot of parents end up letting their kids either get too into something where they're indulging in it as opposed to enjoying it for what it is.
I think, you know, just to piggyback off what y'all said, I think one of the things that I'm not going to say that I fear that I'm a struggle with, but one of the things that I'm super duper conscious of is I don't want to push Haven to do anything outside of the normal pushes in life that I'm supposed to push her about. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm supposed to push her to do better, to want to do more, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I have definitely been the dad that's like, you know, whenever first thing in the morning, as soon as she walks in the house or as soon as she walks into the room with her basketball court, like I definitely like, yo, put a shot up. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause I want my daughter to be nice. I want to have that bond, but like at the same time, I'm fully prepared to be like, yo, hey, listen, whatever it is that my daughter decides that she wants to do, or when I start to realize, like, you know, I realize she really likes to dance, she really likes music. All right, you know what? Let's do dancing lessons, right? Like, my job is just going to be clearly to push and to get you to learn different things so that you're well-rounded and that you understand things and you know what you like, you know what you don't like. But I definitely don't, I'm not with the whole living your life, you know, vicariously through your child or whatever. Listen, if you was nice and you was supposed to make it on whatever it is that you got your child doing, you'd have did it. You didn't do it. Let your child be your child. You know what I mean? Let them be great. Let them enjoy their lives for what it was. Don't make their life miserable because you feel as though you missed out on some opportunities or whatever the case may be. You might not have missed out on an opportunity, fam. You might just not have been nice. Point blank period. Everybody around you might have told you was good at something. You might just not have been good at it, right? Or you might have been lazy or whatever the case may be, but don't put that on your child.
And that's part of the reason why I say it's a personal thing, because you got to know your kids too. You got to know what motivates your kid. You know, like if you know that your kid responds well to you praising them for even attempting it, you can still gas them up to go to the next level. You know what I'm saying? But if you got a kid who maybe they thrive on you telling them like, yeah, you won MVP, but you ain't averaged 15 assists. You had 13. Like, you got to get that up. You know what I mean? So you just kind of got to know. That's the reason why I would never try to impart my advice onto somebody else and be like, yeah, well, you need to tell your kid. You shouldn't. It's like, nah, every household is different. You know what I mean? But I'm glad that we can all have these different perspectives on this.
Let me just be clear real quick.
It's important to know. It's important to share that. Go ahead.
Let me just be clear real quick. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. So let it be known, I'm still gonna talk my shit to my daughter when we playing these video games, right? Like, I'm still gonna talk my talk, right? Like, that stuff's still gonna happen, you know what I'm saying? You know, but I ain't living by care. I'm toughing you up, right?
Because no, 100% to you. Now listen, if I beat my kids in something, they gonna hear about it. You gonna get this trash talk at home, because I'm gotta prepare you for when the world, they gonna say worse shit to you than daddy gonna say.
Oh, for real. Did you do that when I just bust you in 2K real quick? Or when I just bust you in Mortal Kombat? No, you didn't. So chill out.
That's great.
But yeah, man, you know what I mean? Like, that's my, you know, that's the central point, you know what I'm saying? And I think I wanna say thank you, gentlemen, for just like that, the wisdom and just those words and all of that, man. You know, not just for me, but because the listeners need to hear this stuff too, because it might be people that's asking themselves these questions, they're struggling coming up with the answers for it. And, you know, I think we provided them with a decent amount of a game, a decent amount of gems and all that, man. You know, it's the Rap Names Podcast, another episode. I want to shout out to my man AC. That's my dog, man. Like, we talk about everything from Marvel movies to real life shit to, you know, whatever, man. I just want to say thank you. Yeah, man, AC. Oh, what you got going on right now, bro? Like, is any pods coming up next, or, you know, what you got?
Well, currently, you know, we currently do the Marvel Cinematic University podcast. That's myself, Jake Christie, Jerome Chang, and Stephanie Williams. We had the great Howard Bryant from ESPN to go through the last episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, I think people who have watched the show will find that our show critiques these things a little bit differently than most do. We can love something, but critique it at the same time when it's not good in particular. So like that's the best way I could describe it. You can follow that show's Twitter feed at MC University Pod. As far as myself personally, I do indulge in nerd culture, and I am a writer at murphysmultiverse.com. So any coverage from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you can get from me there. And on Twitter, if you want to follow me, at Anthony Canton _3. And yeah, man, I'm grateful for this opportunity to come on and talk with y'all. This has been a long time in the making. And Mari's been so grateful with his time over the years doing stuff with me and us that, hey, I had to at least stop by and chop it up with y'all. And then hopefully maybe we get Jerv on one of these shows in the future if he would like to come on.
Hey, man, I would like to be on once WandaVision Season 2 comes out.
There we go. Nah, there we go. You know what I'm saying?
I think that would be good. I need to happen.
Yeah, man. Look, shout out to y'all. Again, as usual, every week we do this. Shout out to the fans, man. Shout out to the listeners. You know what I mean? I hate saying fans. Shout out to the extended family. You know what I mean? Extended family, the listeners and everything, for constantly rating, subscribing, reviewing us, tell a friend to tell a friend and all that. We appreciate everything, man. You know, it's another episode of Rap Names Podcast. We out, man. We'll see y'all next week.
Hi, Gamora.